This is Radio Skid Row on demand.
We have with us Mayor of Marrickville, Joe Halen.
Welcome to the program, Mr. Mano Tari. Kia ora, morena, Mano.
The CEO, Make-A-Wish, Gerard Menzies.
Radio Skid Row on demand.
Radio Skid Row, 88.9 FM.
Hi, I'm Jeff Furillo and you're listening to the Baby Boomer's Guide to Life in the 21st Century on Radio Skid Row 88.9 FM. The Baby Boomer's Guide to Life in the 21st Century is a weekly program for older Australians where we talk about ageing well and every week that affect us as we age right here now. Every day. And later in today's episode we'll be SBS newsreader about her formative cultural experience, a segment called Nostalgia Town. This is a weekly segment where we hear a well-known older Australian talk about their formative cultural experiences. Mary also speaks about growing up right here in Marrickville, and in later episodes we'll hear from former West Australian Premier Jeff Gallop and rampaging Roy Slaven himself, John Doyle. And on Out and About at the end of the show, we'll be speaking with Beverly Baker, Chair of the New South Wales Older Women's Network. But first things first, today we are going to discuss finances and ageing with Mehrdad Kosyap, who is Information Services Officer with the Commonwealth Department of Human Services Financial Information Service. And then, with my two studio guests Lucille McKenna and Jude Stoddart, we'll chew the fat on the punters panel about today's theme. Our guest expert today on The Expert Speaks is Mehrdad Kosyap. Mehrdad is a Financial Information Service Officer with the Commonwealth Department of Human Services. So tell us, Mehrdad, what is the Financial Information Service?
Thank you for having me and the opportunity. Financial Information Service is part of Department of Human Services. It's been in operation for the last 28 years, indeed. We are a free, independent financial information service as opposed to financial advice, and this is a free service available not just to human services or Centrelink customers but all community members. And we deliver that service basically through face-to-face interviews, obviously confidential interviews in Centrelink offices where we are based, as well as we have a phone service. So if customers are contacting the 132-300, the department line for retirement, asking basically for financial information service, it diverts them to a section of the call center that's manned by myself and colleagues on obviously rostered. So more quick and specific questions that can be answered over the phone, we'll do that. Say 15, 20 minutes it might take, no worries. And if it necessitates or the customers are needing a face-to-face, we'll book them a face-to-face with one of our colleagues in branches near. We also have the capacity for more remote customers or those with mobility issue to have a telephone interview organized for them. So we deliver the same service also over the phone. Now, as well as these contacts, we run a number of free financial information seminars pretty much across the country. These are all getting advertised in the homepage of Financial Information Service at Human Services website. There's normally held these seminars at local libraries or local clubs. Topics are there, quite popular. Understanding superannuation, understanding age pension, seminars on age care, and lots of different topics. And we also participate in collaboration with other agencies in various forums, Seniors Expo, various other community expos, and try to use every opportunity to deliver our stated aim of hoping to improve the financial literacy of the Australian community every which way we can.
So, Mehrdad, what risks are there for older Australians who are trying to organise their finances as they age?
One of the very important parts of the retirement income policy of today, which would have been unthinkable to think it has become what it's become, say, 3 decades back when the modern superannuation basically started and got expanded to become what it is with its massive growth and massive success. One of the risks is not having taken steps to get our head around superannuation during our working life and as we get closer to retirement. That is a big part, I think, these days of needing to ensure. And it's never too late. With superannuation, we feel that obviously the younger you are, the more effective, the more fruitful it's going to be. But it's never too late. All community members need to be really tuned in with our superannuation, with what it entails, having a great understanding of it, and also the options at the retirement time of now, well, what to do, which then brings related topics such as income stream. I mean, we get customers come in and having heard perhaps from other community members and they want clarity and more information and basically pros and cons of different options within income stream and what happens with super in retirement. We have seminars on that topic of retirement income stream solely alone as well. Also, I suppose the risk of being still engaged with various financial mechanisms that may have served its purposes in the past, but as the life is progressing, it's always great to apply the handbrake, so to speak, and evaluate where we are and where we like to be headed and adjust our strategies accordingly. There's a lot of information out there that just needs to get tapped into. I mean, I get people who express and say, in all honesty, I've been too busy over the years to even take a look at my super statements. Fair enough, life is busy, but these are really, really important. These are matters we can do something about by trying to gain a better understanding of, say, superannuation and all the other changes along the way, like our super seminar, for example, entails also all the newer measures that are very important, such as the downsizer contribution to superannuation that has kicked in, such as from this financial year. It's really important, I think, for people to know that with their concessional contribution or before tax contribution into super, for those members with balances less than $500,000, if they're not in a position to use their cap in a year, they can carry that forward for the 5 years, which is important to know in case you're getting close to the retirement stage and wanting to do the salary sacrifice. And if the ability due to the finances or budgeting in 1 year is more limited, to be able to use that unused cap in the following 5 years, as long as the balances are less than $500,000. It's really important to know these benefits of actual salary sacrifice. That is also very important. And of course, community members by and large do look into those closer to retirement. And nowadays we have first home buyer super saver scheme that has also kicked in, that people in being able to put a deposit for the house for their first home buyer. And these schemes are really useful, and they're also attached pretty much to superannuation nowadays. So it's even getting expanded more. And as I mentioned before, gaining that awareness, improving that knowledge, tapping into the resources that are available. ASIC has this fantastic website called Money Smart, which I highly recommend to those of your listeners who are not aware. It's a fantastic financial information website with lots and lots of useful information, tools, apps, information on a range of financial matters, including superannuation, budgeting, if people need to use financial advisors, what are the steps and what to look for, various calculators for mortgage repayments, various strategies to reducing mortgage, how to manage superannuation, links to various other useful websites. Those who are in need of financial counseling, there are excellent free financial counseling services available that you get the link from our website in FIS homepage in Human Services, as well from Money Smart website. There's National Debt Helpline that offers free confidential and independent financial counseling when people are having difficulties with debts and other issues and being in financial difficulties, so giving National Debt Helpline on 1-800-007-007. A call would be a very wise thing to do. Free service available to all community members. Numerous other state-based organizations that offer financial counseling for those who require it, including Lifeline, who also has a fantastic national financial counseling service for those who are in need of that. And of course, we are there to provide information service that is free and again available to all community members. Would love to see your listeners in our seminars or alternatively coming in for face-to-face interviews, or if they have questions that they want to ask us over the phone, by all means, it'd be a pleasure.
Hi, I'm Jeff Gallop. You're listening to the Baby Boomer's Guide to Life in the 21st Century on Radio Skid Row, 88.9 FM. Get connected and stay connected.
We're speaking with Mehrdad Koshab, Information Service Officer with the Commonwealth Department of Human Services in the Financial Information Service. I asked Mehrdad to talk about how older Australians can deal with financial risk.
I think in terms of risk, the clarity is the best. And again, it's not something we set a plan to set and just lay to rest. It's constant lookout as how to the financial and investment market is moving and being able to evaluate our strategies and make informed decisions. There's plenty of flexibility in actively being able to manage our supers. Many of the funds have a lot more diverse investment options perhaps than before, and our numerous superannuation comparison website, there's a cause for doing research and looking into where we are, being happy with where we are, looking into issues of performance. And when we say performance rather than short-term performance, always recommended to look at longer term, maybe over 3, 5, 7, 10 years, to ensure that we are with well-performing super funds. And the fees, quite important, of course. There's a great quote from Albert Einstein, of all people, which I really like. It says, compound interest is the eighth wonder of the world. He who understands it earns it, and he who doesn't pays it, which I think is really an apt thing in two ways. In terms of accumulating and saving and super and how that works, that compounding interest is really not to be underestimated, how big a difference it makes. 1 or 2% here and there over a long run. And of course, in terms of debts and mortgage, well, compound is also a factor to look at and be aware of. So later in life, when we get faced with perhaps maybe needing to look at possibly, say, taking maybe a reverse mortgage or similar, only to borrow as much as what we need, and to be mindful of the implications of the compounding interest of the concept in both ways. And the awareness of all of these will really help to minimize the risks that you were referring to in your question, Jeffrey. Another issue and strategy, Jeffrey, I believe that's quite important is towards our retirement, prior to retirement, a few years down the track, we're going to be retiring. And one is thinking that when I'm retiring from the workforce, with the remaining mortgage, trying to do our best in reducing or paying off the mortgage. And you think, well, I can add some additional mortgage repayment directly into, but that's, of course, ordinary money after getting taxed. And that is one option. There's another option you can look at and do some research on is whether or not it may be more beneficial or less beneficial if one was to make that as a contribution to super, concessional contribution within the cap. Obviously, that gets then taxed concessionally at 15% as it goes in. And with the accumulation of the next 3 or 4 years, the end result, the amount that you can utilize once you access the super to reduce the mortgage may be different and may be advantageous or not, but these are the issues that people getting closer to retirement need to look into, gain information, if required, seek advice also. But if not, we do our best to get our head around. And I always think even when there is case for needing to use financial advisors. It'd be great to have as much financial information beforehand to make a more effective use of the financial advisors. And by the way, on our website, on FIS homepage, Financial Information Service homepage, which you access from Human Services website, there is a short video which outlines the actual steps in choosing an advisor. And Money Smart website also has that link, as well as a register that actually you can type in the name of the advisor or the ABN, and it will provide you with the background and the expertise of the advisor that you're looking at when you have a short list and you're wanting to select one. That's what comes into mind on that front.
And how, Murdad, can people find out more?
One area is definitely to tap into our services, whether through, as I mentioned, face-to-face interviews, questions over the phone, or coming to our seminars. If you're popping into any of the expos around the place that are towards the retirement and aging and aged care and seniors expo, you would see us. Quite a few of us would be there and often busy answering questions. Come say hi. Within Human Services, Financial Information Service, if you just type that in the search, it'll give you the homepage. And now I cannot really emphasize enough how useful Money Smart website is. So I highly recommend that to all your listeners to utilize that. It is really, really fantastic. The choice of issues that it deals with, even on insurance, on strategies to do with mortgage and lots of other great links and apps. Calculations and calculators as to how much our financial needs are at retirement and so on. And of course, as I mentioned, there are free financial counseling services around the place that we would be happy to make referrals to. Yeah, just doing our own best and doing our own research and utilizing the help that's available out there. Another one, the ATO. A few people nowadays have MyGov account, which is fantastic as it allows you link with different government agencies to interact, including Human Services, ATO, and so on. Within MyGov, there is a lost super. There are quite a few billions of dollars also of unclaimed lost super money just being held by ATO that is happy to find its rightful owners. And that link, people can just actually link there, type in the surname, name in a couple of different ways and claim their lost super amalgamated with their other super account and come to our seminars. We don't sell anything, but if I was able to sell anything, I would have said come to our free Understanding Superannuation seminar as a must, but there are also lots of other topics. If you have a look at the website and you see the location and the dates for various seminars around the place, whether in Sydney or in country areas, because it's not possible to be delivering, you know, every topic regularly at every site, just remember that if you've missed out on the one that we've just held, you're more than welcome to book a face-to-face interview, and it'll be a pleasure for us to provide you a highly detailed overview of the content of that seminar that you're interested in, be it on aged care costs and options, or whether on retirement income stream, or on understanding age pension, discussion on deeming, and so on.
Do you have a website address for us to go to?
Of course. Humanservices.gov.au. In the search box, just put in Financial Information Service.
Do you have a phone number as well?
Yes, 132-300 is the phone number to contact us to speak to one of us, one of the Financial Information Services officers, and for booking into our seminars, there's also another number of 136-357. This one's just for booking into seminars, but to talk to one of us, it'd be 132-300. And there's an email also for seminar booking, that is fis.seminar.bookings@humanservices.gov.au.
And we'll put those details up on the website. Mehrdad Koshab, Financial Information Service Officer with the Commonwealth Department of Human Services, thank you very much for joining us today on the Baby Boomer's Guide to Life in the 21st Century.
Appreciate it, Jeffrey. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Thank you.
Attention, everyone. One. Radio Skid Row, 88.9 FM.
Radio Skid Row is a listener-supported station. Through a lot of commitment and hard work, Radio Skid Row has survived over 30 years. And one way you can help us to continue to grow is by becoming a supporter. It won't cost you much and it's easy. Go to radioskidrow.org and click the support tab. If you'd prefer to use an online bank transfer to donate, contact us directly by email, info@skidrow.com.au, or phone us on 02-9560-4254 for more information.
Support the station that supports you. Radio Skid Row.
88.9 FM.
And now it's time for the Punters Panel, where we speak with local older people about the issue of the day.
I've been researching you baby boomers. Here are some facts you might not know. When baby boomers die, they get buried in a coffin, also have an investment coffin buried at the same time so they can negatively gear in death. It's a wonderful system. Their natural habitat is a three-bedroom, two-bathroom terrace house they bought in Brunswick for a shilling and a song. And their natural predators are skin cancer and their children. We're coming for you, boomers.
And that was Tom Ballard. He's got us pegged, though, aren't we? We're all cashed up and we can just kick back now that we're getting older. What do you reckon? My guests today, Lucille McKenna and Jude Stoddart. What do you think?
Well, I think a lot of people would wish they all were cashed up, but it's not the case for many people going into old age. I mean, I think it's one in four people over the age of 65 are in poverty. So, you know, it's not quite the rosy picture people would like to think.
Yes, I would agree. I think the if we all had a home and we all had a good super balance and we all had had a maybe a professional career where we'd been able to contribute to our super funds, that would be a different matter. But there seems to be, at this point in time, two groups really, those that have little and those that are the comfortable team group, and it does concern you. One of the things that concerns me enormously is the fact that older women are now one of the groups that are experiencing homelessness, a growing group of homeless people, and for many reasons why women are in that group. And so I don't know how we make this fairer and better, but it certainly needs some work.
I think your point about the women is really important, because basically the pay gap in our everyday, when you're working lives, the pay gap turns into the Grand Canyon when it comes to pensions. You really are missing out. And I think they say something like, women have got 47% of the superannuation that men have,
yes,
upon retirement.
The average balances are very small, nowhere near enough to really supplement an income.
Yeah.
No, further away. So it is a real concern, yeah. You know. But the other, of course, there's a couple of messages in the talk today, I think. One, I'd like to reinforce the value of the Financial Information Service. It is a great service, and I've used it over a number of years. I sort of became enrolled and involved in using the service by default by a program that was running at the time called the Pension Bonus Scheme. And I've found them very, very useful, and just in a whole range of things. You know, there are so many questions that you have, and when my husband died last year, I phoned them up and found them just over the phone. They gave me a whole lot of information, which was really, really useful at the time.
It sounds a fantastic service, and until I heard the program, I didn't actually know about it.
Yeah.
I think it's a great service.
I actually had experience directing people to go and see them, because I worked in aged care, and with people approaching having to go into an aged care facility, and whether they were able to, whether they should sell their house or they should keep their house, whether they would lose their pension, whether they wouldn't, all of these options. And the Financial Information Service is fantastic at putting people's minds at rest, telling them their best option, your best to do this or that. And I never really heard anyone come back. Nobody ever really came back and said it wasn't a very useful service. So
and they excellent. Don't charge your fee, do they?
They don't charge anything. I'm not sure whether you have to have a pension number to be able to access them. He did say anyone on the chat, so hopefully it is. Hopefully it is available to anyone, that I'm not sure of.
I was going to just say, I mean, the issue about learning and understanding about finances is really quite a challenge for a lot of us, isn't it?
It is.
Because certainly, I mean, I was privileged enough to have superannuation, but really and truly, I just used to get the letters. I mean, exactly what the presenter said. I used to get the letters and stick them in my drawer and unopened for a long time until I was nearing retirement, and then suddenly thought, oh my goodness.
I find that superannuation is a little bit like the theory of relativity. I think sometimes I understand it, then I learn something new and I realise I do not have a clue.
Yes, and there are a lot of rules around it, of course, too. And, you know, there were a couple of comments there about, adding to it and salary sacrificing and all of these things, which are all terms that some people will understand and many people won't. But there are rules like you reach an age where you can't put any more money in. So, and I have reached that age, and I was... also, I thought recently I might sell my big unit that I have and buy a smaller one in the same block I was going to do it. And that way I could have put my money into... Then I discovered from the Financial Information Service that if I hadn't lived in the current house for 10 years, I didn't qualify for that. So there are a whole lot of rules in amongst all of these government programs, and the... FIS are really fantastic at being able to answer all those questions. And my advice to all older people would be to contact them before you make financial decisions like, I'll sell my house and do this or that, because they actually... And apparently their charter is to make sure that they give you the best advice. So they don't actually work for the Department of Human Services and try to make sure that they don't give you... that they try to make sure, do the best thing for the department. They actually give you free and fearless financial advice.
And I think that's the difficulty, isn't it, about where do you normally get that free and independent advice? And even around things like superannuation, and when you then have to draw on your superannuation, you're reliant on the market. And frankly, I never spent my life looking or having shares and knowing how to look at what the market's doing and all of those things. I'm an educated person, but I'm completely unfamiliar with all of that. So it's very scary in terms of actually thinking, well, how do I manage that point in my life? And it's that feeling of when you stop work. I mean, I've worked all 40 odd years of my life full time, so I've got a sort of trajectory of having at least accumulated some superannuation. But you get to that point when you start to draw down on a finite sum, you do begin to think, it's not as easy as when the money comes in next week, or I can just earn a bit more, I'll wait till next week. And those sorts of things I think are very scary around money for people.
I certainly have found this first 6 months of my retirement to be quite scary. I get quite panicky at times about, do I have enough money? I did think I'd buy a new car, but I'm not sure whether I do want to buy a new car, because my super will just be starting to go down. But then at the other side of that coin is that I feel very lucky that I'm in the position that I am in, but I did put a lot of effort into growing my super by selling my we sold the family home a few years ago. We put a substantial amount of that into the super, so my super is a reasonable amount. But I did have that value of that knowledge.
But I think one of the to go back to the point you raised earlier, though, Lucille, is that I think the issue around how do you solve this is that the patterns, particularly, say, for women, of women's employment, is such that they are in a difficult... It's not a want of not knowing about super, it's they don't have the money to save because of broken patterns of employment and the fact that they've been taken time out to care for kids and then time out to care for elderly. So we need to think about some structural solutions in terms of our whole pension system that recognises that people don't come to retirement equally.
Yes.
And I think it's just really important because it won't be fixed by people, individual women making more effort, you know, as much as we think we should do, because there's actually a structural problem about being able to earn sufficient in superannuation if you've got those other responsibilities. So
I certainly would agree with that. And in my working life, I employed a lot of younger women, and I was always amazed at the little knowledge that they had. And I found myself in a difficult position trying to explain to these new employees how they, you know, that they should take an interest in their super. But many don't. Mm. The majority don't. They see it as something in the future that they don't really need to be concerned about. And perhaps I don't know that what the solution is to for people to be able to take some sort of control. And unfortunately, some of the government programs don't necessarily support training people or teaching them. They maybe try to change things to for the better, but at the end of the day, we still end up with this lack of knowledge about what's happening with their super.
But with all the planning in the world, that's the thing. I mean, external events, you know, sadly, in your case, your husband dying, and other cases, people's marriages breaking up.
Mm.
So their future looks very different to how they think they're going to think about it. So it's how do we recognise that life's bumpy?
Mm.
You know?
Mm. Mm. Yes, that I don't know. And different countries do it in different ways. You know, there are the countries that pay a pension to everybody, which, you know, I mean, that's not a silly thing, really, because those with a lot of money pay a lot of tax, I assume. I'm not very certain. But for us in Australia, we don't have that that sort of level.
You might be talking about the universal basic income.
Universal basic income is
another exciting idea
which could be
maybe that's a thing for a future episode.
That's a great idea, actually.
Look, Lucille McKenna and Jude Stoddart, thank you very much for joining us on the Baby Boomers Guide Punters panel. But we were talking earlier about homelessness being a particular problem for older women. I've been advised by the Older Women's Network that there is a forum coming up just to put things into perspective, 116,427 Australians have no home, and the fastest growing number of homeless people is single women over 55. 189,404 are on the waiting list for social housing. And so there is a forum coming up, a national crisis. How are the major parties going to fix this? It's on Monday, the 13th of May, at Newtown Neighbourhood Centre from 2 till 3:30. You can find out more and you can RSVP by going to info@ownsw.org.au or calling 9519 8044. And now for the segment of the show that we call Nostalgia Town, where we talk to well-known older Australians about the musical, the theatrical and the film experiences that helped make them the people they are today.
You must remember this, a kiss is still a kiss, a sigh is just...
Mary Costakides is an Australian television presenter. She is the former weeknight SBS World News Australia presenter and was the face of SBS across two decades. Mary was a member of the management team that set up and developed SBS television in 1980 and then went on to present its flagship World News for 20 years. Mary was born in Thessalonica in Greece and migrated to Australia with her family 2 years later. Mary Costakides, what were the formative cultural experiences you grew up with? What were your favourite songs, your movies, films, theatre and art?
Well, I grew up in West Marrickville in Sydney, which was very Greek at that stage with a bit of Italian. And as you know, migrants tend to cluster together in the first generation. The second generation doesn't quite do that in the same way, but that's what they do when they come to another country. I'd go to the movies with my mother, and she'd take me to see all these terrible tearjerkers. So we'd sit there sobbing our eyes out, and they weren't just Greek. Some of them were Indian, and I remember Mother India. It was always the Romeo and Juliet story, you know, family feuding, that kind of thing. I mean, in the background, of course, there was Australian music, which you certainly were exposed to, particularly when you went to high school, not so much in primary school. So I, of course, was aware of what was happening here, you know, little Paddy stomping at Maroubra and all that sort of thing. And I suppose I engaged with that to an extent, but certainly most of my time and the time inside my head, I guess, is taken up by Greek music. And it would be a mixture of folk music, dancing music, because every weekend my parents would have the extended family over. And there was always lots of cooking and cakes and gururakia, biscuits, and Dad would always have the barbecue going, or he'd have some other, like lamb on the spit or whatever he was doing. And there'd always be dancing. And I think back now and wonder where they found the energy to do that. Because at the end of all of that, there'd be cleaning up to do. And there were always lots of children running around, cousins, you know, growing up in that sort of extended family situation. So there were folk songs, but there were also old songs that my parents grew up with. So from the sort of 30s, 40s and 50s, in Greece. And the great joy for me is I've now found those songs on Deezer. And this is what's so fantastic about the world we live in. All that material, somebody has archived it, somebody accesses it, and there it is. So it's great fun for me to build up on that collection. We lived in, you know, on a quarter acre block. It was a very safe existence. There was routine. I mean, this is why they migrated here. They wanted to get away from the civil wars and the famine and the depression and all of that. And they wanted to come to a country where they could work for a living and provide for their children. It was a great contrast because then, of course, as a child in the environment that I was being brought up in, I was not aware of similar struggles that had happened in this country with the Aboriginal people, for instance. So I thought this was a very, very safe, almost like a backwater, you know, the other end of the world, but weren't we lucky to be here because we were away from all that struggle, all that history. Actually, people all over the world have faced these struggles everywhere throughout history, and indeed in Australia as well. That was the sort of music that I grew up with, and it was always exciting when a singer would come out from Greece, like Maria Fanandouri, who would sing all of Theodorakis' songs, and they were so moving.
Well, Mary, we are all of us, you and I, we're both over 55. We are aging, we are older. Can aging be fun? What are the benefits of aging?
Oh, well, you don't feel guilty anymore. I think you have more time. I don't know how much fun getting older is in the sense that you are aware of changes. You can't do as much and go quite as quickly as you used to. But that's actually not a bad thing because it means you contemplate much more. Yeah, I think having time and also being able to do what you want more than things that you have to do, because, you know, we've got this mental list of things we've got to do with our time, but then as you get older, you're aware that time's very precious. You don't forget what's fundamentally important. You give yourself permission to not shy away from what you see as being the truth, whereas I think sometimes it's very hard to do that when you're younger because you can feel isolated. As we get older, more of us do that, and it's wonderful. There's strength in numbers. The grandparents' brigade or the older person's brigade, I'm enjoying being part of that.
So, Mary Kostakidis, do you value your social connections?
Oh, very much. These days, of course, we connect with people socially in ways that we weren't able to in the past. And one of the things that's sacrosanct for me is my FaceTime, which happens at the same time on the same day every week, come hell or high water, with my grandchildren. And we have our half hour where they tell me all the exciting things that they've been doing, or they tell me their grievances, and they always want me to read books. And that's a lot of fun, and I enjoy selecting books that are interactive, that we can, you know, have fun with. There are other ways in which the digital world has allowed us to connect. We connect with people that we otherwise wouldn't be able to, both for pleasure and also for work, for more serious reasons. And along with having more time as we get older, I think it enables us to engage with a network of people around the world who may be interested in the same sorts of issues that we are. And then, of course, there are those things that just give us pleasure, and you can spend hours researching material on YouTube or the internet more broadly. Someone some months ago sent me a link to a song that a young woman recorded, which I think you're going to be playing later on, perhaps at the end of our interview. And I thought, wow, that is extraordinary. What a beautiful voice this girl has. So I Googled her and found that she has a very similar background, or her ancestry is very similar to mine, but she's young enough to be my granddaughter. One of the things that's really special about being alive today, you know, whether you're a younger or an older person, but probably even more so for older people, because we have the time to do this. When you're younger, you're having children, working hard, you know, you're on a bit of a treadmill, whereas now you have much more leisure time. Yes, it's yours to do whatever you want with it. So you can establish these connections. You can research and establish these connections, and it can be very, very fulfilling.
You tell me that you have quite an online presence, your Facebook, your FaceTime, and you love to go down rabbit holes on the internet, so do I. What about the real life face-to-face stuff over a cup of coffee?
Of course I do that too, and I have family that I see regularly, and the fact is that the sort of lives that people lead today, many of my friends no longer live in Sydney, some of them are overseas, some of them are still working but are posted elsewhere. One's gone to Canberra, she's now part of the judiciary there. Another one's retired and lives up in Byron Bay. People move around a lot more, I think, than they used to. The notion that you would grow up in an area and go to school there and then work there and still live in the same area and then let your parents live in or whatever, that's all changed. My daughter doesn't live here. She lives in New York, has done for quite some years, and although there's always a plan to come home, who knows? And then her husband's family, there are four children in his family, and they all live overseas, and his parents come from Batis. So life isn't as contained as it used to be. And you have to make more of an effort to have that face-to-face interaction. So I travel a lot. That's the only way I can connect with my family who live overseas, for a start, and even my friends. It's the reality of today, I'm afraid.
Mary Costakidis, thank you very much for joining us today on Nostalgia Town. What is your choice of song for us to go out on today?
Well, it's the song from the Sea of Marmara that I was talking about earlier, called Corazón Etraudaye, which means a girl was singing. And it's performed by Irini Tornasaki.
What a wonderful name. Mary Costakidis, thank you very much for joining us today on Nostalgia Town.
Pleasure, Jim.
And now, on the Baby Boomer's Guide to Life in the 21st Century, it's time for Out and About, where we find out about some of the things that older people can do in Sydney and in the Inner West. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Out and About on the Baby Boomer's Guide to Life in the 21st Century. Our guest today in the studio at Radio Skid Row is Beverly Baker. Beverly is the chair of the Older Women's Network, which operates out of Newtown. Tell us a little bit about the Older Women's Network.
The Older Women's Network was established in 1985. It was a spin-off established by the Combined Pensioners Association to look at the issues that particularly affected women. And it has grown from strength to strength since then. In 1988, it got a small grant from both the Meyer Foundation and from the Women's Weekly to look at the needs of women. It's really about self-determination. It's about women determining what women want across the range of interests of women, which are not all the same. We moved to Newtown, I think about 4 to 5 years it's been at Newtown now. It used to operate out of the Rocks as a small organisation. The City of Sydney very generously gave us the hall in Newtown, and so we moved the operations to there. That gives us a space in which we can conduct activities. It's easy to get to. Public transport goes right past the door, or up the street, a bit past the door. So it's the move over there gave it its own identity, gave it a single place in which it could be identified and focused. It gave us a space to employ staff to help with the work, because up till that point it was all being done by volunteers. There's parking on premises, but it's limited. It's a driveway, really. It's very limited. But it is in walking distance from public transport. There's street parking. You gamble in Newtown about street parking, but there's parking there. And it's a good space. We have the Women's Electoral Lobby that shares the premises with us. They have the upstairs office, and they use the facilities for their activities as well. At the moment, we've got a number of classes that we run. We run them in conjunction with Newtown Wellness Centre, so that it is identified and targeted to that area. There is a fabulous theatre group. So if you're interested in singing, dancing, acting, this theatre group went to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival last year and had enormous success. They are currently running a program called Don't Knock Granny, which is really about elder women abuse and what goes on behind closed doors. And it's a fabulous, funny, well put together, light-hearted look at a very, very serious subject. We have, for people again who like to move, we have a thing called New Moves, which is a relaxed dance exercise program that you can come along, have fun, laugh, and have a great time. We have Feldenkraft, which is the exercise back supple thing that you do. I haven't been yet, but people who go say it's fabulous. We have a financial literacy program, which is really, really important, so that women can get their head around the finances that sometimes they know nothing about, because it's been traditionally the role of their husbands. And when their husbands have passed or moved on, then perhaps they need to know about the financial management. We've got a computer lab for older women who have not grown up with computers, but are in a position where they can come and use a computer. We can show them how to do it. We can help them set up a Gmail account, so it doesn't matter where they go. They can pick up emails. They can be in contact with their family, because electronic communications is the future. It is the current and it is the future, and we can't have women being left behind in that space. So at the state level, we are a peak representative body. and we do a lot of research, a lot of talking and a lot of reporting on the issues that affect older women. We are currently making presentations to the Royal Commission on Aged Care because of the incidents that we see in home care, in home care, in out-of-home care, in aged facilities, and in homelessness, especially in homelessness, because we know that the demographic for homelessness, older women are the fastest growing demographic in homelessness, poverty and loneliness. That means they're slipping through the net, they're under the radar, and we really have to put that back on the agenda so that these women, when they need the aged care, they can access it.
So what options do women who are older who find themselves homeless, what do they have?
Look, nothing, or very, very little. We had a terrible experience last week in the office where a woman came in who was homeless, well-spoken, well-dressed, and absolutely distraught because she was on the streets. She'd had a fight with a member of her family who had told her to leave, and she had no accommodation. Our office staff spent around 3 hours trying to find somewhere where she could go, and there was nowhere. Absolutely nowhere. And finally, in frustration, she left. And we don't know where she went. We begged her not to go. We said, please stay, we will find you something. Something will come up. But she was just so despondent, so over it, that she left. And we have no idea where she went. She had no way of contacting her. She didn't have a mobile phone. We had nothing. It's an issue that we're facing more and more as women are looking for help. In desperation, they're looking for help, and there is nothing out there.
So what accounts for this increase in homelessness amongst older women?
I think it's a number of issues. I think it's the fact that there's been no increase, really, in wages, minimum wages. There's been no increase in pensions. In fact, for some people, with the re-evaluation of pensions, they lost money. That a lot of women face the death of their partner who had been managing the finances, and when they get to take over, they find out that they have not been as honest as they needed to be with the finances. They find that their house has got a mortgage on it. Some of the women are a victim of family domestic abuse where their children are the ones that are taking the assets. It makes it sound like it's a dreadful thing, and it's only a small percentage of people who face that. But if you're facing that, it's everything. It's your entire world and your entire life. That somehow that after the age of 55, women, if they lose their job, have to go on Newstart, which takes no account of the family background you've had, the free work that you have done raising your family, the caring role you may well have played for the 20 years until your partner passed, leaving you in a situation where you then had to seek work. And in spite of all of the rhetoric, we know as older women, it's very hard to get a job over the age of 50. It is really, really hard. Everyone wants a business with a young outlook. And over the age of 50, in an ageist society, we're not considered to be young. Even though we are competent, capable, stable, young heads, be wise, we're not valued in that space. And then to stand up after a lifetime at 50 of work, to be told you have to apply for X number of jobs. If you don't do this, you're going to be on a penalty system. You have to do this, you have to do that.
That's pretty much the story. It's about networks, isn't it? And amongst other things, the Older Women's Network is a network. So if you're a listener to the program, if you're an older woman and you think that the Older Women's Network has something to offer you, how do they get into contact?
Look, there's a number of ways you can get into contact. The simplest way is to ring us, and that phone number is 02 9519 8044, and just say, put your name down. If you would like, we publish a fortnightly magazine called Downtime. If you have an email address, send us your email address. We will put you on that mailing list and you will get that Downtime. We have a quarterly magazine called Own Matters, which again looks in more depth into the articles and the things that are there. But the Downtime lets you know what's on, what we're doing, when it's about of interest to you. It also offers you free tickets to events. If you write in, we can help you get out, have a social life, those sorts of things. And we're growing that side because we think that we can't just offer bus trips or theatre tickets. Women are different. They like doing different things. So we're expanding the options and the offers for women so that they can have a look and find something that they want to do. We have now 20 wellness centres across the state. We have two in Sydney, which is North Sydney and Sydney. They run book clubs, they run dance classes, they run exercise, they run excursions, they do all sorts of things like that. So if you ring our office or email us on info@onsw.org.au, which is Own New South Wales, or you go to our webpage, which is, again, onsw.org.au, you can find out everything you want to know is there.
I want to thank you very much, Beverly Baker, Chair of the Older Women's Network New South Wales, for joining us today on Out and About.
It is indeed my pleasure. Thank you.
The Baby Boomer's Guide to Life in the 21st Century is produced in the studios of Radio Skid Row. You can hear this show again weekly on Thursdays at 3 o'clock, or you can listen again online by searching for Radio Skid Row, and you'll find a link in the SoundCloud box to the right. Join us again in a week's time for the next episode, and don't forget to check us out online by going to www.radioskidrow.org and following the links. This production was made possible with support from the Community Broadcasting Foundation. Find out more at cbf.org.au. This program is produced with the assistance of Lex Marinos and Raul Hernandez. I'm your host, Jeff Forlow, and I hope you can join us again next week.